The federal lead and copper rule requires utilities around the U.S. to test people's tap water for lead levels. But even if a system's test results meet the Environmental Protection Agency's standards under the rule, it doesn't necessarily mean every home's water is safe. And basic information that could help determine water quality is often missing. Keystone Crossroads' Irina Zhorov explains.
On a recent afternoon, I went over to a private lab that tests water for contaminants. I wanted to know the lead levels in my drinking water.
Are you looking at the bottle?
Yes.
Right here.
First thing next morning, I trudge downstairs to the kitchen with my sample bottle. I'm going to open it. So I'm going to turn on my water. Okay, I got my water in there, so I'm going to seal it up. We'll see what they say. On the way to work, I dropped the sample off at the lab. If you live in almost any Pennsylvania city, I recommend you try this little exercise as well. Why? Let's start from the beginning. The EPA requires utilities to deliver safe water to people's homes. Utilities check water for most contaminants at the treatment facility before it enters the distribution system and flows into people's homes. Lead is different.
The big difference is where the test is done, and it's at the customer's tap.
That's Jim Good, who until recently was executive director of the Pittsburgh Water and Sewer Authority. Why the difference?
Where the lead comes into the water is when it leaches out from the service line and then the indoor plumbing.
Service lines run perpendicular to the water main in the street, connecting it to individual homes. They're usually owned by the homeowner. So even treated lead-free water could become contaminated by the homeowner's own lead line before hitting the tap. To minimize the chances of that happening, operators at the plant add chemicals to make the water less corrosive. That's where the EPA's lead and copper rule tests come in. Abigail Cantor is a chemical engineer who owns a consulting firm specializing in drinking water quality.
The goal is to understand if a water system has the potential to leach lead or copper. And it's from the perspective of an engineering control as opposed to health risk.
She says no one has figured out a way to get a complete picture of lead levels across the city without testing every home. Instead, the testing checks if the corrosion controls are working.
Every plumbing system is different. And you may be in a house and that testing protocol doesn't necessarily protect you. So their technique is not to protect the individual, it's to protect the general population.
Pennsylvania has many lead lines. EPA requires its largest cities, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, to sample just 50 houses every 3 years. In 2013, in Pittsburgh, 10% of samples tested above EPA's threshold for action. But the sample size is too small to extrapolate the results. No one knows what percentage of homes citywide could have elevated lead levels. In other words, having lead lines doesn't mean you have bad water, but the EPA tests offer no assurances citywide. As a precaution, EPA requires utilities to test the most vulnerable homes with known lead service lines. Here's the EPA's Director of Ground and Drinking Water, Peter Gravatt.
I think it's very important to make sure that systems are in fact going to the sites where they expect to find the highest levels of lead and copper. The belief was when EPA wrote this rule back in 1991 that that would be a protective approach for communities.
To make that possible, EPA requires water utilities to survey the materials in their distribution systems. But neither Philadelphia nor Pittsburgh has a comprehensive materials inventory that includes lead lines. Jim Good again in Pittsburgh.
We don't have the exact number and location. We've never actually surveyed that.
It's the same deal in Philadelphia. Service lines there are entirely private, and the utility does not consider them its responsibility. But both EPA and the State Department of Environmental Protection say ownership is not a consideration. A DEP spokesman says the agency requires a comprehensive inventory that includes identifying lead service lines. Other guidance suggests what's important is having a sufficient inventory to be able to sample enough sites with lead piping. But without a comprehensive inventory, targeting can be limited. The Pittsburgh utility, for instance, sends letters to people who previously participated in testing and relies on random respondents to bill stuffers.
But we do ask, you know, homeowners, we ask them, well, do you have lead? And sometimes they know. So then that helps meet the criteria.
PWSA and PWD are looking into doing a full inventory of pipes in their cities and are starting to evaluate what it would take to replace all lead lines in their coverage areas. And PWSA is considering increasing testing frequency. The EPA is also revising the lead and copper rule, which could include new testing protocols. Meanwhile, both cities offer free lead testing to their customers. That's in addition to the testing they're required to do. My test from the private lab took about a week to come back. When I received my results, I called Janet Stout.
I'm a microbiologist and president of Special Pathogens Laboratory in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
So could you tell me what my test results actually mean?
The sample that was collected from the kitchen shows levels of lead that are below the Environmental Protection Agency action limit.
My sample showed 2 parts per billion of lead. The EPA limit is 15 parts per billion. That number, by the way, is not based on safety, but rather on what's achievable with proper anti-corrosion control. My results are good news for me, but it doesn't mean my city's water is good or even my neighbor's. Irina Zhurov, Keystone Crossroads.